Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
I am thrilled today to have in the studio on Encounter the former governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Parson, and former First Lady Teresa Parson. God has been moving in their lives and moving into a new chapter, but Mike and Teresa have a strong faith in the Lord, and I wanted you as my listeners to hear about how God has moved in their lives, and maybe that'll encourage you in your life that God has not forgotten you. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Mike and Teresa, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Judy. We're glad to be on today.
So, Mike, you were governor, and were you surprised that that all happened?
I don't think there's any question that we was not planning on being governor of the state of Missouri. And I think as life goes sometimes, and I think as you mentioned a while ago, I think there's a purpose for everything that happens in our lives. And I think sometimes we have to be a good listener and we have to understand that it was God's will to put us in a position he did and for us to understand what it is that we were supposed to do and how we continued his message and how we was good listeners during that time to try to figure out what he wanted us to do.
Well, you came from a town of 356 people. That's amazing. And then you went into the United States Army and you're an Army veteran and sheriff of Polk County and served in the House of Representatives. How did you get an interest from coming from such a small town and getting into politics?
You know, I think it's another story. When everything I've ever done, I've actually never had a plan for the next step. To be right honest about it, I never planned on being sheriff. I was in business doing some things. I never planned on being Jeff City. And again, I think those are things that happen in your life that God prepares you for that, and you don't know you're being prepared for that. But all of those kind of things happen by a simple conversation or somebody saying, why don't you do this? It was never something that Mike Parson ever planned my life out to go through all these different steps as far as the legislative branch goes. And then to be governor, coming from a little town of 356 people, and my mom and dad were sharecroppers, very humble beginnings. And to realize you're going to be the governor of the state of Missouri and what an honor that was, but also what a challenge it was. You know, and the one thing I tell people all the time, I cannot imagine doing this job without faith. I can't imagine any leader being in leadership positions that are not familiar with faith and have God in their corner to help them through some of the most difficult times you will. So we've been blessed. We really have been blessed our entire lives, and we've just stayed focused on what's important.
And Teresa, how did you meet Mike?
Well, actually, Judy, I was working at a local bank. And I would relieve lunch hours in the drive-thru window, and Mike would come through the drive-thru window from his gas station that he owned with his deposits. And we began to strike up a conversation, and I received a call one night wanting to know if I would like to go out with him. So that's how it all began, with both of us just working our jobs, doing our job, and that's where we met.
That's kind of risky business when your wife-to-be at the time knows what your deposits are. So it was a pretty risky time for me.
I bet it was. So how long have you all been married?
We just celebrated our 40th anniversary.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mike and Teresa Parson are my guests on Encounter. I'm so proud to have you both on the show. You have two children, six grandchildren, and three great-grandchildren. How about that in the Parson family?
It's pretty cool. And that is, you know, it's very special to be called. They call me Nana T, and Gramps. And that's pretty special.
They don't call you former First Lady or anything like that.
No, they don't. I never heard them say that at all. I did have one granddaughter, though, that told her class, kindergartner, that told her class that at the end of school year, during a little ceremony that they were having there, and no one was expecting it, and certainly I was not expecting it, but they were supposed to tell what they wanted to do when they grew up. And she announced to the entire room there that she wanted to be the First Lady of Missouri when she grew up.
Oh, wow. Let's talk about the House of Representatives. When you first became a part of that and the Missouri Senate, tell us some faith stories that God did to really help you in your desire to serve.
You know, I think one of the things you find out when you go into an arena where there's a lot of people you don't know, you always try to figure out who are people of faith and how do you acknowledge that one way or the other. And I'll never forget, I was going up the escalator when I first went in the House of Representatives, and I thought, how am I going to find out how all these people believe and what they believe, and are they followers of faith or are they not? And I was going up the escalator, and one of the gentlemen said, I said, how are you today? He said, I'm very blessed. And that's all he said. He said, I'm very blessed. So you knew right away that there's a guy I need to remember who he is, because, you know, he's a fellow follower, and you learn by having interactions with people. But I think you also have to understand how important faith plays a role in keeping you humble on a lot of the decisions you have to make. And you're making decisions that change people's lives every day, and you want to do the best job you can. But the only way you can do that, it really, if you keep three basic principles, which I've always said, if you keep faith at the forefront, family, and freedom, if you can remember those three things and everything that you do is surrounded by that, then you can be successful in life. And I think, I mean, there's been times when I've been in the House, the Senate, especially as governor, I guess I want to talk. I got letters during COVID, during civil unrest, during some very difficult times in my administration. And I'd be trying to figure out what is the right decision to make. And believe me, when you're the only one there, God becomes a very big ally to making those decisions. But time and time again, for me and Teresa both, we would go somewhere during that time and somebody would say, we are praying for you for the decisions you have to make. Or we'd get a letter from a Sunday school class. We had no idea where the Sunday school class was from. And they're saying, we are praying for the decisions that you're making today, not tomorrow, but today. And there were so many times that I want the people, the churchgoers around the state, around your listening audience to realize. And I sit in those pews before when people say, let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for our government officials. And all of a sudden you realize that how powerful prayer is. And all you're doing now is saying, okay, this does matter and it does have an effect on everybody's lives. So I think those are the things that comes to the forefront when I talk about my faith and how we lived our lives when we were up there.
So the House of Representatives, Missouri State Senate, the Lieutenant Governor, and then you ended up as the 57th Governor of Missouri. That's amazing that you won all those races, isn't it?
Well, we're proud of the fact that we won. Again, it wasn't the roadmap we chose, but God had a hand in that, and he was preparing us every step of the way, even when we didn't know it, he was. And yeah, when you look about coming from a small town with parents that were sharecroppers, very humble beginnings, you know, I feel like it is a very unusual path that I went to become the governor of the state of Missouri.
For Christians who might think it's so intimidating to run, I probably won't win because of my faith, what do you tell them?
Well, I tell you, number one, never back away from your faith. If your faith is in where it needs to be and you have God in your corner, there is no reason to run anywhere. I mean, you just stick with who you are and stick to your faith and don't be afraid to share it. There was countless times that I did press conferences during COVID-19. And every time I would end my press conferences, I would say, God bless America, God bless Missouri, and God bless the people of the United States. And I would say that. And the media sometimes would come back and say, why do you say that? And I said, because I mean it. And I mean it for you, as well as everybody that's listening. And I think it's important that you people know where you stand, especially if you're going to be in an elected position. And not only they know where you stand, But what is your actions once you get in those positions, and how do you conduct business? And I think I never strayed from that. My oldest brother is a pastor, and he's in his 80s now. And one of the things he told me right before I became governor, he said, little brother, he said, you remember you had your head held up when you come up here. You make sure you got it up when you come home. And I've never forgot that. And I've stayed true to that the best I could.
What an amazing thing that he shared with you to keep you rolling. It's like one of those lifelong sayings, isn't it, that keeps ringing through your head when you feel like giving up or doing something different?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. People have a huge impact on you, especially when they are believers, especially when they are people of faith. What you say matters. And it doesn't matter whether it's at the grocery store, at home, at church, at in the big capital. Every day is a responsibility for us to be better stewards, to be better followers. And I'm just telling people out there that's listening, don't ever count a small thing as not effective or not that big a deal, because it is a big deal.
So what you're saying about small things includes making phone calls or writing your representatives or senators or your governor, correct?
I don't think there's any question. I think for years, people have tried to put in our minds that you need to take church out of government, is what they say. And the point I will tell you right now, that is about as the wrong way to think of politics as you possibly can. I will tell you, politics needs to be driven by faith. And we should be at the forefront of it, and government should be out of our lives. And we've got that turned around over the years of how we conduct ourselves. But I'm telling you, people need to be involved. If we want to change society, it will come from the Bible. You know, I can tell you, I can stack all the statutes in the state of Missouri, and they will stack up there as high as my head. But if you put the Bible right beside all those man-made statues and you follow the Bible, you don't need them. Not one of those statues do you need to have. It's not complicated. To your question of how do people contact their legislators or their elected officials, there's numerous ways to do that. But it is important you pick one, because you do have a voice, and people do pay attention much more to the people back home sometimes than they do the lobbyists and all the special interest groups are there. But I would also encourage you, when your representative and your senator or your governor is in your hometown or where you can get to them, you need to make sure and tell them who you are. And if you need to explain to them how important faith is to you and how important faith is to them. So I would encourage people to have them in their local areas. If they want to talk to somebody, invite them to come and have one-on-one conversation with them, a Sunday school class, just a people faith-based club, to have them come and talk to them. They'll come, but you got to ask them and you got to invite them.
Well, we're going to have to take a break. We got a lot to talk about. Guess what the Parsons are doing now? Learn more about their brand new adventure. This is Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. Stay tuned, won't you?
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks so much for joining me now on Encounter. We're back with Mike and Teresa Parson, Faith, Family, and Freedom. We're at the forefront of Mike Parson's getting through everything he went through in politics, and also his wife, Teresa. Now that you're not the 57th governor anymore, you guys have a brand new chapter of your life starting. Tell us about that. And Teresa, I want you to go first.
Okay, I will be glad to share. Yes, we are very much excited about it being home and a new chapter. And we have taken up a position, the governor has, former governor, with Convoy, and I am going along as well. And Convoy of Hope, which is headquartered in Springfield, Missouri, and I believe it's probably one of the hidden gems of Southwest Missouri and possibly of all of Missouri. Right now, it is 27th on the Forbes list of America's top 100 charities, and we have taken up and doing some advisory type roles with Convoy right now, and I'm going to pass it to the governor, and I will share a trip that I was able to take with Convoy last year and one that I will be taking again this year in a little bit. But I will pass it to the governor and let him talk a little bit about his new role with Convoy of Hope.
Brand ambassadors and strategic advisors. Wow, that's a big title.
Yeah, I say that is a big title. And then the big question is, what's the responsibility come with those titles sometimes? But I will be honest with you, Judy, for about 8 or 9 months, I didn't accept any offers for any jobs or any advisory roles whatsoever, because I really wanted to take my time and I wanted to make sure it was the right thing that I wanted to do, that I felt like I was helping others. And I had knew a Convoy of Hope for some time. I'd actually seen them in action when I was governor and even before governor, and just recently in St. Louis, Missouri, where they come in and help the tornado victims up there. I think that's one of the things when you learn about Convoy of Hope and their mission is how reliable they are, how efficient they are, and how they are geared to help people immediately. And believe me, I've got to see the bureaucracy side on the government side. And I'm telling you, nothing compares the way Convoy of Hope can respond and to have the mission that they have to about helping people, not just in the United States or not just in the state of Missouri, but all over the world. And you see what they've done and you think, I want to be part of that. I mean, I want to do a little something to help. And that's why I kind of took the strategic advisory role of Convoy of Hope on agriculture, because I'm a kind of a farm boy at heart. But I mean, if you cannot feed people in wherever it is, poverty, big cities, around the world, we can't accomplish much of a mission if you can't feed people. So it's been very interesting to me to be part of them. And then I just think they're a first-class team of what all they do and how efficient they are.
Maybe for those who don't know about Convoy of Hope, you could give a short thumbnail sketch.
Yeah, well, my first would be is to invite everybody that doesn't know who Convoy of Hope is to come to Convoy of Hope, that's listening, and come see that facility and see what it is they do with disaster services. They've been known for disaster services all over the world. As a matter of fact, I just went to Jamaica not too long ago and all the responses they do. But one of the things that they also do is they feed. Well, our goal is to feed 1 million children by 2030. But right now we're feeding about 670,000 kids a day. And just let that soak in for a minute. That's how many kids we are feeding a day that all over the world. And to be able to do that day in and day out is a remarkable organization that you understand how efficient they are, again, about what it is their mission. And again, it's all driven through faith. I mean, if you're around Convoy of Hope and their leaders for any time at all, you're going to know who's in control, and it's not none of them. You know, God's in control of this whole situation, but it is one of the most remarkable organizations I've seen. A matter of fact, I'll tell a quick story if I have time. It had to do with Martin Rice Company here in the state of Missouri. When I was governor, they called me and they says, hey, we want to donate some rice to the people of the refugees in Ukraine. And I said, well, how much rice are you talking about? Are you talking about a pallet? Are you talking about a bag of rice? What do you want to do? And they want to do 5 semi-loads. Then all of a sudden you say, well, how do I get that to Ukraine? And I tried the National Guard. I tried the military because I'm an Army veteran and all this stuff. And I thought, well, I'll get this done. And time again, I hit bureaucracy and bureaucracy. Finally, we called Convoy of Hope. Talked to Christoph and says, hey, here's what we got. Can you help us? And he said, we'll be glad to. And they actually got that rice here in our state and delivered it. But those are the kind of things they do on a daily basis. And it can never be overstated their job never stops because it's Saturday or Sunday, or never stops because of the evening. There's one thing I learned as governor, the same way Convoy of Hope has to operate, something happens all the time, somewhere, every day. And you got to be prepared for it. And they're one of the most efficient run organizations I've ever seen. And I'm just proud to be a part of it right now.
And that's run through the Assembly of God denomination, isn't it?
Well, I think, yeah, that's where it started at, through that, I think. But I think in today's world, it's about all faith-driven people and people that want to help. But the main, I think, emphasis of it is faith-driven. And when you look at the money situation that they create, it's mostly donated by people. It's not government. And I think that's one thing to be very proud of, that they don't have that much tendency to depend on government. And I think that's why they have so much freedom to do what they want to do and as quick as they want to do it.
How did Convoy of Hope start?
Well, I think it through Hal Donaldson. I mean, Hal Donaldson and his life story of what all he went through as a young man with the tragedies he went through by losing his father and his dad and his mom being hit by a drunk driver. And he lost both his parents, not lost both of them. His mother was in the hospital for a lengthy time. But he never forgot those days when he was a very humble young man and didn't have anything. And then how he built his life around that to help other people. And his mission has never changed from day one. And again, I think the example him and his wife sets the stage for the whole organization. And now that I'm part of it, I can see that every day, his life story. And I encourage all the people back there that's listening today, if you don't know who Hal Donaldson is and you haven't read any of his book, you should get on the internet and look him up and look up Convoy of Hope and see what started all of this.
If people are looking for a good organization to give to, how do they get more information about Convoy of Hope?
I think the quickest way is just research it. Just get on the internet, look up Convoy of Hope, and it'll tell you all the avenues how you can help. And I think as far as on the donor side of it, they have quite a base of donors. But I want to encourage people, whether it's a small amount or a big amount, you know, every dollar you donate to them goes to a great cause. And again, I want to go back to the efficiency of it. A Convoy of Hope, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, over 90% of their funds go directly to the care of individuals or the mission statement itself. Very little is spent on overhead. But I think the best and easiest way is get on the internet, look them up, and I think it'll tell you where you go from there. And then whatever you might want to serve, you can take a look at that and see.
Lots of volunteer opportunities, right, Teresa?
That's correct. There's a lot of volunteer opportunities as well. I will share real quickly, I was honored to go with and travel to Guatemala with Convoy of Hope last February, and I will be traveling to El Salvador this year with them to see the programs in action. They have a women empowerment program that trains and teaches women in these countries a trade where they can sew things or make things or do things and sell to help supply and take care of their own children and their families. And it's very rewarding. I came back. Actually, you know, you can't go on a trip like that and not come back a changed person. The Lord is there, but they need the help as well. And that was a very, very rewarding trip for me.
Mike, as you think of your journey in your life and Teresa, what scripture really has spoken to you that's kept you motivated to have those three forefronts, faith, family, and freedom in the forefront of your life?
Well, I'll give you a twofold answer to that. First one would be the most important scripture is God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first one you got to understand and you got to believe. And then I think for me, as I look through not so much scripture, but I look at stories of the Bible that can relate to everyday people of things that happen in your life, I think all of those things that you pull on much more than a scripture sometimes, it's the story of what happened, whether it's Jesus feeds the multitudes, when they're in this boat, and all of a sudden the seas look like it's the disciples they're worrying about are in total chaos. What are we going to do? And Jesus calms the waters. those are the kind of things that I think of when I think of verses or I think of scripture stories, how important they are. But the number one, I think, is always the most important to me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you got to understand that so the rest of them fall in place.
And for those people who think, oh, the world is in chaos, everything's falling apart, what encouragement would you give our listeners?
I will tell you, and this kind of relates to my favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, and especially became my favorite scripture during our time in Jefferson City, but Isaiah 41:13, and I'll paraphrase somewhat, but that the Lord says, do not fear, I will take my right hand, do not fear. So that right there was something to me that I could always count on the Lord being with me.
Stepping out in faith, the 57th yep. governor of Missouri, Mike Parson, and his wife Teresa have been my guests today on Encounter. Now they're in a brand new chapter as brand ambassadors and strategic advisors for Convoy of Hope. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Judy, for having us.
And thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join me next week for another exciting Encounter.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.